I'm Steve Clark with Dr. Art Evans, entomologist, and this is What's Bugging You. We have invited people to send their photographs into Bumblebee Watch.
Yes.
And I'm thinking that it might be a good time to give some pointers on how to get a better photograph. I had an experience where I took about 80 photographs, and only out of 80 photographs were there two that even got close to what I was hoping to portray. And it was because it was a windy day and the bumblebees were very active. And
sure. Why should your experience be different than anyone else's?
Oh, I thought it was just me.
Well, it might be, but it depends on what you're using as a camera. I still carry around a big, bulky, single-lens reflex camera with a huge lens and flash on it, but a lot of people are using point-and-shoots, and other folks are using their telephones and getting some really good pictures. And depending on the point-and-shoot or telephone that you're using, you might already have a good macro setting. If you don't, there are external lenses that you can purchase and attach to your camera or phone, and the results can be very good.
I've seen the ones for the Mac.
iPhone.
But the ones that I've seen for my particular Droid seem to be really makeshift. So
there's nothing wrong with makeshift. Piece of tape, and you put the lens right over it, and you're good to go. Why do you need anything more fancy? The trick is, I think, is selecting your background. Also, being able to hold the camera still. I know in my own camera work, everything is manual. A lot of people rely on automated features to try and take good macro shots, and that just doesn't work. You need to put everything on full manual. Oftentimes, the insect doesn't fill up the view very well, and so when the camera's trying to read what you're pointing it at, it's looking past the insect. That's why so many times I get people sending me pictures where the background's in perfect focus and the insect's this big blur. Focus manually. That will save you a lot of wear and tear. Select a background that isn't too distracting so that the insect itself is what your eye is drawn to first. Approach an insect very carefully. Don't think you've got to zoom in on it right away from the very first shot. Start taking pictures of it from a few steps away and then gently walk into it. And some insects, like you say, are very active, and it takes a lot of practice. It truly does. Every once in a while, you'll get a really good picture, and then you've got to start remembering, how did I get that picture? What did I do? What were the settings? What were the circumstances? And I'll keep this in your mind. Some people benefit from writing it down. Have a little notepad with you and a pencil and jot down some notes as to what worked and, more importantly, what doesn't work. And then try to keep repeating those steps that more often than not produced a good photograph for you. You don't necessarily want to shoot images of insects that are sitting out on the tip of a branch because that often gives you a black background. Everything's too far away. It looks like everything was shot at night. Now, sometimes that looks great, but if you see a lot of pictures like that, it starts to get a little tedious, so you want to mix it up a little bit.
Dr. Art Evans' latest book is Beetles of Eastern North America, published by Princeton University Press. The launch for this new book is open to the public and will be held on Friday evening, May 23rd from 6 to 8 at Stir Crazy Cafe in Richmond. For photos, audio, and a link to Art's Facebook page, go to ideastations.org/radio/bugs.